Exclusive interview with Oliver Varhelyi, European Commissioner for Neighbourhood and Enlargement for December 2022 issue of the Cord magazine.
Serbia strategically chose to join the European Union. We need more and not less engagement with the Western Balkans during these unprecedented times. And we will continue our strong political and financial support to all partners in the Western Balkan region, including Serbia, on their path to European Union membership. The European Union counts on Serbia as a sincere partner that stands in support of our shared values, security and prosperity. Speaking before the European Parliament on the eve of the recent adoption of the resolution on the new EU enlargement strategy, also known as Pikula's report, European Neighbourhood and Enlargement Commissioner Oliver Varhelyi emphasised the importance of the part of the document that confirms that enlargement remains a strategic investment in stability and prosperity on the European continent. The adopting of the resolution has caused concern in Serbia over assertions that link the imposing of sanctions against Russia not only to the country's further progress on integration, but also to Serbia's access to European funds intended for candidate countries. Speaking in this interview for Cord magazine, Varhelyi says that Serbia is considered as having made a strategic choice when applying for EU membership. And that decision implies the alignment of Belgrade's foreign policy with that of the European Union.
Commissioner Varhelyi, considering the latest annual EC report on Serbia, which assessments do you consider as being the most important and how will the report impact on the pace of Serbia's further European Union
integration path? Serbia made important advances on its European Union accession path over the last year. By now, 22 of the 35 chapters have been opened in the accession negotiations. With the opening of negotiations under Cluster 4, overing the Green Agenda and Sustainable Connectivity, in December last year, following reform progress, including on the constitutional reform in the area of the judiciary, Serbia really leapt forward. In our latest report, we have also confirmed our assessment that Serbia has fulfilled the benchmarks to open Cluster 3 competitiveness and inclusive growth. In addition to these developments, it is important to underline that Serbia's progress on the rule of law is essential and will continue to determine the overall pace of accession negotiations. We are therefore looking forward to working with the new government to speed up these reforms. In the current geopolitical context, it is also clear that Serbia needs to step up its efforts to align with European Union positions on foreign policy, including declarations and sanctions, in line with the negotiating framework. Finally, it is also necessary to make progress in the dialogue between Belgrade and Pristina.
It was recently suggested, during discussions regarding the European Parliament's resolution on the new European Union
enlargement strategy, that Serbia's further integration process should depend on the readiness of Belgrade to impose sanctions against Russia. How do you, in your capacity as Enlargement Commissioner, view this? We need more and not less engagement with the Western Balkans during these unprecedented times. And we will continue our strong political and financial support to all partners in the Western Balkan region, including Serbia, on their path to European Union membership. Serbia made a strategic choice, when applying for EU membership, to be part of our politically and economically integrated bloc. Serbia's decision implies aligning its foreign policy with that of the European Union. The European Union recognizes that challenges need to be tackled in this context, and we are helping Serbia to address certain challenges, but we also need Serbia to help us overcome the biggest European peace and security challenge since World War II. The European Union is counting on Serbia as a sincere partner that stands in support of our shared values, security and prosperity.
Alongside the obligatory imposing of sanctions, as a new condition for the European integration process to continue, there is also increasingly vocal mentioning of the old condition, recognition of Kosovo's independence. Considering evaluations from the new report on Serbia's progress, which relate to the dialogue with Pristina, to what extent do current relations between Belgrade and Pristina serve to slow down Serbia's EU integration process?
There are no new conditions. The negotiating framework with Serbia speaks very precisely about the achieving of the comprehensive normalization of relations between Serbia and Kosovo, in the form of a legally binding agreement by the end of Serbia's accession negotiations, with the prospect of both sides being able to fully exercise their rights and fulfill their responsibilities. The normalization of relations between Belgrade and Pristina, through the EU-facilitated dialogue, is essential for future peace and stability in the region. Progress on this dialogue also determines, together with the rule of law, the overall pace of European Union accession negotiations with Serbia. Our expectation is that both sides engage more constructively in negotiations on the legally binding normalization agreement in the coming period, and that they both show a readiness to compromise to make rapid and tangible progress.
Early October saw the Czech Republic host the first meeting of the European Political Community, EPC, which brought together the leaders of the 27 European Union
member states and approximately 20 other states seen as potential EPC partners, from Iceland and the UK, via Ukraine and Moldova, to the Western Balkans. How should the EPC concept be properly understood? The aim of the European Political Community is to offer a platform for high-level political discussions between European Union countries and neighboring partners. It was high time to have a platform that offers the opportunity for such a dialogue, where we can address the most burning issues of common interest to strengthen the European continent's security, stability and prosperity.
It is feared in the Western Balkans that the EPC represents a kind of substitute to European Union
enlargement, due to there currently being a lack of interest in enlargement within the European Union, as evidenced by the many years of delays in advancing the status of North Macedonia and Albania, as well as the slow progress of Montenegro and Serbia. Do you think the EPC will influence the pace of accession negotiations with candidate countries? As I mentioned, the aim of the European Political Community is to offer a platform for high-level political discussions between European countries and partners, and is not about replacing existing EU policies and instruments, including enlargement. I think this format provides a good opportunity to have a seat at the table to discuss issues that are of common interest to the whole continent. Moreover, besides being a good place to meet and discuss issues of common interest, it can also offer the opportunity to build trust and mutual understanding on certain issues between our Western Balkan partners and EU member states.
There is an impression in the region that the EPC has now prioritized the strengthening of ties between the European Union
and Ukraine, and perhaps Moldova, as opposed to the countries of the Western Balkans, which have been following stringent and complicated EU accession procedures for decades. This is not the case. In the last year, major developments have taken place on the EU-Western Balkans enlargement agenda. For the first time since the revised enlargement methodology was applied, last December we opened a cluster of four chapters in one go with Serbia. July's first intergovernmental conferences on accession negotiations with Albania and North Macedonia were a major breakthrough. This opened a new chapter in the EU's enlargement policy. And in our last enlargement package, we have recommended the granting of candidate status to Bosnia-Herzegovina, on the understanding that a number of steps are taken. There are no shortcuts to enlargement. Ukraine, Moldova and Georgia are subject to the same expectations in the accession process. Joining the union that's been built on freedom, democracy, the rule of law and the protection of fundamental rights remains a powerful vision for many citizens on our continent. We provide all our support to the countries to live up to these criteria. Our enlargement policy, based on strict, but fair conditionality and the principle of one's own merits, applies to anyone.
Even though the citizens of Western Balkan countries have been represented at the Conference on the Future of Europe, opinion polls conducted in these countries show a decline in the number of people who see the European Union
as their future home. For example, a survey conducted among the Serbian youth revealed that only 39% of young people support the country joining the European Union, with 33% opposed and 28% undecided. How do you see these figures? These surveys are perhaps important to some extent, but they do not ask the real questions. Would you want the same living standards in Serbia as in the European Union? would you want to use the opportunity existing within the European Union? These questions might prompt completely different answers. The Serbian leadership has repeatedly confirmed the strategic objective of Serbia to join the EU. I welcome this decision and agree with it. This is the best option for Serbia to secure long-term peace and stability, including through the creation of a prosperous and successful economy and society. This is what we are working on. We need to show tangible benefits that are convincing for people. Reforms may be difficult, but they are in the interests of both Serbia and Serbian citizens. The European Union is, and will remain, Serbia's main political and economic partner and the country's biggest donor.
According to the latest analysis of Carnegie Europe, the European Union
accession of Western Balkan countries has stalled due to both issues within the Union and within the region itself. It suggests that renewed commitment is required on both sides to break the current impasse. However, given the ongoing political and economic challenges caused by the war in Ukraine, is it realistic to expect such a commitment? There is already such a commitment. Earlier this summer, European Union leaders reconfirmed their full and unequivocal commitment to the European Union membership perspective of the Western Balkans. The European Council called for an acceleration of the accession process and for the further advancement of gradual integration between the European Union and the Western Balkans. A lot is being done to give effect to this call to accelerate the integration of the Western Balkans. For instance, through participation in European Union programs and agencies, through the implementation of stabilization and association agreements, the economic and investment plan and inclusive regional cooperation frameworks, but also through the fostering of regional economic integration that can help establish bridges with the European Union single market. I look forward to making further breakthroughs in the common regional market. We continue to show solidarity with our partners in the region and are providing support for their economic recovery, energy and food security, and for their society. For instance, in addition to our already extensive support on energy transition in the economic and investment plan, we are now putting forward an energy support package for our Western Balkan partners worth 1 billion euros, in order to provide support in the context of the current energy crisis caused by the war in Ukraine.